Thank you, choir. We are so glad you're back to bring us such beautiful, beautiful music. So now let's read our scriptures for today. And it starts with Psalm 89, 5 through 18. Let the heavens praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness in the assembly of the Holy One. For who in the skies can be compared to the Lord? Who among the heavenly beings is like the Lord? Of God feared in the council of the holy ones, great and awesome above all that are around him. O Lord of hosts, who is mighty as you, O Lord? Your faithfulness surrounds you. You rule the raging of the sea. When its waves rise, you still them. You crushed Rahab like a carcass. You scatter your enemies with your mighty arm. The heavens are yours. The earth is also as yours. The world and all that is in it. You have founded them, the north and the south. You created them. Tabor and Hermon joyously praise your name. You had a mighty arm. Strong is your hand. High your right hand. Excuse me. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Steadfast love and all the faithfulness go before you. Happy are the people who know your festive shout. Who walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance. They exalt your name all day long. They extol your righteousness, for you are the glory of their strength. By your favor, our horn is exalted. For our shield belongs to the Lord, our King to the Holy One of Israel. And then the New Testament goes over to Romans 6, 1 through 4. What then are we to say? Should we continue to sin in order that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin go on living in it? You do not know that all of us who have been baptized in Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism unto death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in our newness of life. Blessed the word of the Lord.
Let us pray. Almighty God, we ask your blessings upon us this morning as we ponder your holy word. May the words I speak and the words that we all think be found pleasing in your sight. Amen. Many, many years ago, when I was young, I was hiking with my Boy Scout troop. And while we were walking along, one of the scouts asked out loud, if trees could talk, what would they say? And we all looked at him strangely, wondering what that question was all about. And so one of the older scouts then spoke up and said, if they did, I'll bet we couldn't understand them. And then we all looked at him and said, well, why would you say that? And the older scout said, because they would probably only bark. Okay, it was a dumb joke, wasn't it? But it's better than the other one I came up with, which goes like this. A pastor's out on a hike, and he comes around a rock ledge, and he comes face to face with a giant grizzly bear. The bear lets out a growl and is about to charge when the pastor falls to his knees and prays, Lord, I pray that this bear would be a Christian. And in an amazing miracle, the bear is converted instantly, and he stops where he is. And the bear looks heavenwards and begins to say a prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this meal I'm about to eat. Okay, that's enough. But sometimes when you're out on a grueling hike, you just have to make a joke. And as you might know, Kathy and I are avid hikers, and we like to take walks in the woods to refresh our bodies and our souls. And so you can see why our scriptures this morning appealed to me. They both speak of walking. The psalm speaks of walking in the light of the Lord's countenance. And our New Testament reading speaks of walking in the newness of life. Now, walking is a common metaphor in the Bible. We might remember passages like this one. The people who have walked in darkness have seen a great light, which is from the prophet Isaiah and which is read every Christmas. Or from Micah, we might read, "What does the Lord require but to do justice, love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God?" Or maybe this one from Galatians, "Let us walk in the Spirit." These passages are the ones, and the ones that were read this morning, we see walking as a metaphor of how we are to live our lives. We can either be walking in darkness, as Isaiah tells us, or we can be walking in the light of the Lord's countenance, as the psalm tells us. And I guess it shouldn't surprise us that in a society back then, where most people walked to wherever they wanted to go, walking would be used as a metaphor for life. Now, walking is a word we know well, right? It's a word that we can picture. And the first thing we can picture when we walk is movement. Walking means going somewhere. It means starting out in one place and ending up somewhere else. Except when you're hiking, because you end up coming back. But that's another part of the story. You end up start one place and end at another place in walking. Certainly in Paul's society, that was the whole purpose of walking, to get somewhere. Paul uses the word walking in just this way, is moving from one place to another. In Romans, Paul is speaking of a movement of a place from sinfulness to a place that encompasses newness of life. Place removed from the selfish self-focus of life, of one's individual life, into a place that is directed towards the selflessness, towards God. And walking thus is a metaphor for change in our passage. If we are going to walk in newness of life, then we need to move. It isn't something that just happens. It is something that we consciously take part in. We don't get anywhere just by sitting. Sitting is nice. Sitting is relaxing. I'll go home and sit after this worship service this morning. It feels good, but it doesn't get us anywhere. Paul didn't write, "Sit in the newness of life." He wrote, "Walk in the newness of life." And if we are to do this, we need to expect and even welcome change, to grow, to become spiritually healthier by walking, moving and changing our way of living so that we are better aligned with God and God's ways. The thing about walking, especially intentional walking like hiking, is that it is often hard to get started. It takes effort to get out of the easy chair and go out the door and hike somewhere. For some, it is the physical energy that is required to walk that makes starting so difficult. For most of us, it's the psychic energy of starting that makes the hike so hard. And for all of us, the spiritual energy it takes to walk in newness of life is the barrier that stands between us and that call to walk in newness of life. Walking, like any exercise, is hard to get started, and there are all sorts of reasons not to go take a walk. It's too hot. It's too cold. It's too wet. It's too dry. It's too late. It's too early. It's too much. And then there are the distractions. The football game's going on. I got to check my email. I need to eat before I hike so I'll have energy. I just ate. I can't, too full to go hike. All sorts of reasons. And these are the same sorts of reasons that we use to avoid on our spiritual walk as well. God, I'll change my ways tomorrow. I'm too busy today. That's always our best excuse to not take our spiritual walk with God. And like any new exercise, one should begin one's spiritual walk gradually. One doesn't go on a 20-mile hike the first time they decide to go hiking. One goes on a 1-mile walk first, and then goes longer and longer on their hikes until they're capable of a day-long hike. The same is true for one's spiritual walk. If one wants to improve one's prayer life, let's say, one should begin to start gradually. Set aside 5 minutes each day. Stick to it, though. Get in the habit of resisting the temptation to do something else instead. And then when one gets into a regular habit of praying for those 5 minutes each day, then one can increase it to 10 minutes and 15 minutes and more. But it does take some time to build up physical, in the case of walking on a hike, and spiritual stamina. Of course, walking does have all sorts of benefits. It's good for the body, it builds muscle, trims fat, helps the heart, all good things. Walking with God has all those spiritual benefits as well. When one reorients one's life towards God, it means that one is moving away from things that are spiritually harmful. One becomes less interested in selfish behaviors and more interested in selfless behaviors. As we grow in our spiritual walk, we'll find that it is easier to resist the temptations to sin. We find it is also easier to live within the law of God. As we intentionally walk in the Spirit, we learn to love God more and our neighbors more as well. We see the world through God's eyes, and when we do, we learn to appreciate the world around us, God's created world, and especially the people God created for that world. As we grow in our spiritual walk, we realize that all people are God's children. And God loves us all, and we are all called to love each other as well. And when we can appreciate all of God's creation and all of God's people, we discover a deep inner joy that comes from our connectedness to God and to God's created order. Another mental image we get when we speak of walking is that when one is out walking, especially hiking, the route will be up and down. And so it will be with one's spiritual walk as well. There will be times when it will be harder and times when it will be easier. But it will seldom be level. And just as hiking to the top of a hill leads to a grand vista, or a hike down a steep canyon leads to a glorious waterfall, so for us, as we travel on our spiritual walk, we will become better at noticing God's presence with us and in the world around us. And when we do, it will be more glorious than any waterfall and more grand than any vista. And of course, when one goes out walking, one is likely to stumble from time to time. And we stumble on our spiritual walks as well. And when we do, we discover that God is there forgiving us and lifting us up so we can get back on the path of righteousness again. And there's one other aspect of walking that seems to apply to our spiritual lives as well. That is, when you walk, you don't always know what's ahead. One of the joys of hiking is being surprised, even on a familiar trail. When you go out walking, you may suddenly see a deer standing in the woods, or watch a snake slither across the trail, or hear a delightful songbird in the trees above you. Similarly, when we walk in the newness of life, we will find surprises as well. Moments when God touches our lives and we feel that joy that comes from that connection with God. A delight that is like nothing else. So there you have it. Take a hike and live in the newness of life. Amen.